The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell.
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so blasted honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
I'd like to point out that I really appreciate it when you, the members of my audience, get back to me with feedback. And we love to hear who you liked, who you disliked, etc. But I can tell you that when we first had my guest today, his name Chuck Severson, manager of the Baird Midcap Fund, on the show, I got like this great flood of emails going, that guy, he was fun to listen to, have him back. So I am pleased that we do have him back on the show today. Again, it's Chuck Severson. He is the manager of Baird Midcap. If you are not familiar with the fund, it is BMDSX is the ticker. You can get more information at bairdfunds.com. And the fund is a four-star fund, according to Morningstar. Although, you know, I think it's more important that you hear manager style than you worry about star ratings. Chuck Severson, welcome back to Money Life.
Hi, Chuck. How are you? Glad to be back.
Thanks for coming back. And before we go any further, I need to remind my audience that all guests on Money Life appear on the Hightower Hotline. Hightower knows the meaning of the word fiduciary, and so should anyone who's looking to work with a financial planner. If you're an investor searching for help, go to HightowerAdvisors.com. Hightower is an SEC-registered investment advisor. All right, now, Chuck, one thing I am pleased to say is that since you were on a couple of months ago with those folks who said, hey, I liked him, have him back, our audience has grown bigger. So some of those folks have never heard you on the show before. So before we go any further, you have a very distinctive methodology that you bring to investing in the mid-cap space. Let's talk about that before we can decide what areas you like and what you dislike.
Sure. We've always focused our attention on really high-quality businesses, and especially those that can outgrow as far as revenues, but to us, more importantly, outprofit their peers over long periods of time. We have relatively lower turnover than a lot of our growth peers and tend to have maybe 50% turnover during the course of a year. But really just try to find those businesses that are really special, that do something that allow them to be much more profitable, more consistently and persistently than their peers.
What does that do in terms of market conditions? I mean, if you've got a business that can be more consistently profitable than its peers, does it really make a difference what the market is doing? I mean, that may determine how well the company is doing overall, but aren't you still in the best business in whatever industry you're in if that's what you've got? And so you tend to not care what the market's doing?
Well, there are times that even great companies aren't going to be great stocks. Certainly market psychology can play into that. There are defensive business models that probably lag, even though they're great at what they do. They're going to lag in a more bullish, higher growth environment. And at the same time, businesses that have very high growth rates may not do as well in an environment where people are worried and scared and growth rates are slowing.
So we are in that kind of environment that you just described there, where people are nervous and scared and growth rates are slowing.
Most certainly we are.
What industries look good to you and what companies stand out?
You know, there's a couple of areas that we do like. Surprisingly, the financials are doing quite well. And the banks, even though growth rates aren't great and the demand for credit isn't tremendous, the credit metrics are getting better. And they're certainly getting healthier. They're growing their dividends again, and they're doing better. In that case, we do have a position in East West Bank, ticker is EWBC. That's a California-based lender,
mm-hmm.
Doing very well. It's a Chinese-American bank and really outgrowing their peers nicely. In the energy space, that's an area that we've done very well, focusing on a couple of areas, most notably the deep water, where all the major oil companies have to spend money to find those very large reservoirs of oil and gas there. The business that reported earnings very recently is Oceaneering, ticker is OII. They operate a fleet of the remotely operated vehicles that work on the ocean floor. Very specialized business, very high margins. One of the very few people in the world that does that. So those are a couple of areas that are doing well.
I have to ask, because you talk about financials, so many of the folks we have on this show, and we take all investment styles. I mean, we've got growth guys and momentum guys and value guys and ultra deep value guys and anything you can come up with in between. But so many folks say that financials are tough to value. So here you are telling me that you want to find those superior businesses with superior profit margins, while the other guys are telling me, man, I'd like to like financials, but I don't feel I can be consistent or feel like I know for sure what I'm getting. What are you seeing or what are you looking at that they don't see?
Well, I think in the case of East West, it's really just the fact that their loan book is growing and their credit metrics are improving at the same time. So the bad loans are rolling off. People are paying their bills again. And actually, in California, there is a bit more demand for credit. So loan demand is growing up at the same time that the cost side is going down. Now, there's still net interest margin compression, and that's a headwind for the whole industry.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, East West is outgrowing their peers. And one of the other things that we really like to do, Chuck, is stay very diversified across all the major sectors. When a lot of people will completely abdicate a sector for a period of time, we'd like to stay involved broadly over full market cycles.
See, and that was going to get me to my next question, which was going to be, are there parts of the market that you just can't find anything in right now where, as you pointed out, sometimes you're going to have what I like to call good company, bad stock, which is, hey, I may love the company, but I hate the stock at this point. Are there any areas of the market where, in spite of your desire to be fully diversified and have a little bit of everything, you go, this one I can't right now abide?
You know, we've had a long-term bias against the heavily regulated areas like utilities and telecom. Just the growth rates really haven't been, and we still think they aren't there. We also have a bias against the real commodity-oriented businesses like the chemicals and the mining stocks, because their earnings patterns are so volatile and based so significantly on the price of those underlying commodities. They'll make a lot of money one year, they'll lose a lot of money the next. Those just aren't our kind of stocks.
Well, that's interesting, because some folks that I know would lump financials in there, and here you were saying that financials work for you and the other ones don't. That is a huge part of why folks need to understand how their funds work. Is there anything that you sort of see as making a transition? You know, here we've talked about the two extremes. Is there something that you sort of see as maybe making the turn, either going from a weaker area to where you're finding some strength, or perhaps the other way, going, hey, maybe the run has ended here and this is starting to tail off?
You know, we've gone through, obviously, our own situation here in the States, but Europe's been a mess. At the same time, China has really tried to slow their growth rate. We have the sense that some of that is beginning to end internationally. So if that's the case, and we're not completely convinced yet, but we're starting to see some glimmers of hope, you want to pay attention to those industrial businesses that have broad global markets. And that's an area that we would guess over the next 6 months it will be adding to our positions there.
And are there any specific names that stand out as an example?
You know, in the industrial space, I would highlight Rockwell, ticker is ROK. I would also highlight in the engineering and construction area, we have a position in Fluor. And those large projects, petrochemical, power, oil and gas, those projects are actually being let and funded, and so that those E&C companies should be doing well.
Interesting stuff, and that gives people a pretty good sense of where you're going, what you're looking at for the future, and what you're avoiding. Now, we're going to put you to the test of our audience and see what you think of some of their selections.
hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
That's right. It's time to play Hold It or Fold It with my guest, Chuck Severson. He is Senior Portfolio Manager for R.W. Baird, the manager of the Baird Midcap Fund. The ticker symbol on that, BMDSX. If you want more information, it is BairdFunds.com. Now, Hold It or Fold It, that's where we run your requests past our guest. If we're not running your requests past them, well, maybe it's because you haven't sent them in. Send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you are interested in to me at chuck@moneylifeshow.com. We will add them onto our list, and hopefully they'll make it into an interview soon. Chuck, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, now we're going to start with a company that I am all too familiar with because on Tuesday of this week, recovering from Hurricane Sandy, I spent about half my day working at one of these just because they had internet access and we didn't at my house. It's Panera Bread. Jim in New York wants to know about Panera Bread Company, the ticker symbol, PNRA.
Panera's done a great job. Continue to grow square footage very nicely. Comps have been great. Execution's been really terrific. Stock's now trading at a premium to other high-growth restaurants like Chipotle. I would hold it.
Okay. And is there a point where you'd be looking to buy it? Is it simply one of those things where you can hang on to this for the foreseeable future, or is there a buying proposition in here at some point going forward?
You know, just on valuation, if it pulled back into the, you know, near 150, the stock's trading as high as 170. I would guess in the 150s it would be, valuation would be closer, but they're executing so well, I certainly wouldn't sell it.
Okay, so that's a hold on Panera Bread, ticker symbol PNRA.
I need dough and plenty of it.
Yeah, they need dough. That's a Panera Bread sounder. How many sounders do you get for Panera Bread? I don't know. Brent in Chandler, Arizona wants to know about Church & Dwight. It's ticker symbol CHD.
We've owned a position in Church & Dwight for years. Been a very good acquirer of brands in the health and beauty area. Kind of a little Procter & Gamble almost in that way. The stock's pulled back a lot. Got as high as near 60. It's back to 50. We would absolutely be adding to it and buy the stock.
I'm in this for the long haul.
A long-term buyer of Church & Dwight. That describes Chuck Severson. He's suggesting you might want to buy now. It is ticker symbol CHD. Next up, David in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, wants to know about Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. It is GMCR, and I have to say, since David made his request, I've been waiting for somebody to pick up on this stock because it has been in all of the blogs and the newsletters and everything else for a million bad reasons, and I'm curious what a professional stock picker actually thinks of it. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Mostly worried about the patents that they have on their K-Cup running out in the not-too-distant future. And I believe that other folks are going to slide right in and take that volume. On top of that, my experience is when there have been accounting questions and issues, stay away.
That would be a sell on Green Mountain Coffee Roasters, GMCR.
What about my dreams? What about my money?
Rick in Indianapolis wants to know about Perigo Company. It's P-R-G-O.
Yeah, Perigo is another stock that we've held for a long time. And really the premise there is that they are the leader in store brand generic drugs and other products. Really fits in our long-term theme of trying to find businesses that will benefit from the cost pressures of healthcare. And they will continue to make acquisitions. They continue to roll out product as they come off patent and really in the sweet spot of money-making in the healthcare space. We would buy the stock.
Okay, so the valuation is good enough to be a buy. You called it Perigo. I called it Perigo. But it's ticker symbol P-R-G-O, and no matter how you pronounce it, Chuck Severson calls it a buy.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
Last but not least today, Albert, who did not tell us where he's from, wants to know about Foster Wheeler. The ticker symbol is F-W-L-T.
Yeah, much like when I mentioned Fluor a little bit ago in the program, Foster Wheeler is another one of those engineering construction businesses. They're later cycle businesses. Backlogs are growing very nicely, and that's what you have to pay attention to. I'm not as close to Foster Wheeler as I am to Fluor, but the trend certainly is very good in those businesses. I would hold it at a minimum and accumulate it on any weakness.
Okay. And so the ticker symbol on Fluor, by the way, is?
FLR.
FLR. And realistically, what we're really saying is that you'd hold Foster Wheeler, look for a better buying point, but that was also a buy recommendation on Fluor at the same time, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, again, let's restate that one quickly. It was a hold looking for a better entry point on Foster Wheeler.
Hold. Hold. Fire!
And then it was a buy on Fluor, ticker symbol FLR.
Buy, buy, buy! Is that all you can think about?
It's not all I can think about, but since we've come to the end of our time, well, I have to think about goodbyes, as in saying goodbye to Chuck Severson. He is the manager of the Baird Midcap Fund, the ticker symbol BMDSX. BairdFunds.com for more information. Chuck, this was great. Again, I hope you'll come back in a couple of months and we can reprise this one more time.
Look forward to it, Chuck. Thanks for your time.
There is just a little bit of Money Life yet to go today, so stick around. We'll be right back. This is Money Life.